Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online at wdiy.org. So if you have friends or family who are outside the listening area, folks can always listen online at the website wdiy.org. Welcome to the show. Today is September 24th, 2014. The markets were up today. The Dow closing at 17,210, the NASDAQ at 4555, and the S&P at 1998. Last week, we celebrated the upcoming five-year anniversary at WDIY, and we took a look back at some of the topics and guests that we have had over that time. It was a lot of fun for me. We had a lot of great calls last week. I really appreciate the listeners' calls. It makes it a lot more fun. Taking questions. We are live. That's always available. Tonight, I am talking about something I'm calling the chart of ages, the important ages that affect your financial life and play into the decisions that you make. So as I go through some of these different ages, you might recognize that you may be getting close to some of these ages, or maybe it seems so far off in the distant future that you don't have to pay attention. Let me remind you, I think I'm still a baby and I have a 24-year-old daughter I discovered. So time goes very, very fast. So planning ahead, thinking about some of the considerations, it's always good to know. So we're going to kind of go over some of the ages that are important. And if you have questions about such topics or other topics, anything financially related, we will take your calls. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We are live tonight. Judy Ann is in the studio with us, and she will answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay, and we can talk without confusion. Again, we do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments, but while I typically have a topic each week, you can ask questions off topic as well if you're not comfortable talking live on air. I'm a pretty friendly person to talk to, but if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can always just give your question to Judy Ann and she will write it down and bring it into the studio. If you're comfortable talking live on air, that's wonderful as well. I'll do the best I can to answer questions. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. And if we can't get to those email questions during the show, I will respond to those as soon as I'm have access to respond to them. So again, tonight we are reviewing what I will call the chart of ages. That is ages that may be important to you and the significance it may have for you. So I hope it doesn't feel like I'm going to be bouncing around too much. And then what I'm also going to do is bring in some peripheral information that applies to some of these ages, information that might be helpful to you in understanding the implications of some of the references that I'm making. So for example, I could start really young with talking about like when someone's considered a minor or, you know, age of majority type of thing. In Pennsylvania, there's, and I don't know all of the legal considerations around this, but just basically, you know, you're an adult when you're 18, of course, but where I get this question most often is, when we have parents or grandparents who are acting as custodians on accounts for perhaps their children or grandchildren. Maybe you opened up a bank account for them when they were little, or they wanted to open up a savings account because you taught them so well to save money. So you become a custodian on the account, whether it's you, a spouse, grandparent. So those accounts are called UTMA accounts. They used to be UGMA, Uniform Gift to Minors Act accounts, and now they're better known, I think, as UTMA accounts, Uniform Transfer to Minors Act. So if you open up an account, you have a minor, you're the custodian on it. Typically what happens, it might have your name on the statement, but it would have the child's social security number. In Pennsylvania, the age when that really should be turned over to them is age 21. So even though someone may be considered an adult at 18, able to enter into a contract in Pennsylvania, at 21 is when, you know, technically they should be able to take over that account and give it to them. So quite often I'll have people say, oh, my 24-year-old has this account. I'm the custodian on it. You know, when should I give that to them? You know, technically, I think they could walk in with their birth certificate and probably transfer it to them, to themselves. But sometimes they don't know about those accounts, because if you are getting the 1099, remember, if there's income earned on those custodial accounts, you're getting a 1099. It should be in the child's name and social security number. If you're not the parent, you're the grandparent, you should be giving that 1099 to the child or to the child's parent so that they can file an income tax return if it's required, depending on how much income is on that. But again, once they're 21, you really ought to let them know and transfer the account to them, because you made a gift to them, or someone made a gift to them for their benefit, and you set up that account, and at 21, they should have access to that. So that's a young age. Mostly tonight, I'm going to be referring to ages that we have in retirement more. And one of the ages that folks need to be aware of is age 50, because at age 50 and over, you can make catch-up contributions to retirement accounts. So when you're under age 50, depending on what kind of retirement account you have, there's different limits of how much you can contribute to a retirement account. So for example, an IRA or a Roth IRA, depending on what your earnings are, you would be capped at a $5,500 contribution to an IRA or Roth IRA, again, expecting that you meet all the requirements. You have to have earned income, and your page one adjusted gross income has to be under a certain amount. So let's say you qualify that for that. You can do $5,500, and you have till April 15th of the year following your tax year to do that. But if you're age 50 or more, they allow us a catch-up contribution, and you can do an additional $1,000. So for 2014, I think that's still $5,500 with the $1,000. That's $6,500 that you can put into an IRA or a Roth IRA. The traditional IRA, gives you a deduction on page one of your return. The Roth IRA, there's no deduction, but it will grow tax-free. So that's a catch-up contribution for IRAs or Roth IRAs, again, once you reach age 50 or older. If you have a 401k, you're working for an employer, and you have a 401k account, the catch-up contribution is $5,500. So folks who are employed with employers who have set up 401ks, you have much higher limits on your contributions. So for an individual to a 401k, no matter what age, your limit is $17,500. That is a lot of money that you can put into a retirement account and save income taxes for federal purposes today. And the catch-up contribution for folks over 50 on 401ks is $5,500. You add that together, that's $23,000 that you can shelter in a 401k if you're over age 50. If your employer provides a Roth 401k feature, you can put those same amounts in as well. It just would not save you income taxes today. But when you eventually roll that out of your 401k and put it into a Roth IRA upon retirement or termination of employment, change of employment, then you would have tax-free monies for that Roth portion. Okay, so age 50 is the first age we're checking off our chart of ages, and we'll continue to work our way up. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
And we are back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. If you have questions this evening about our topic or about some other financially related topic, I'll do my best to answer. The phone number is 610-758-8810. And you can talk live on air with us or off air, whatever you're more comfortable with. So again, the phone number is 610-758-8810 or through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. You can submit your questions there as well, and I will do my best to answer them. So tonight we are talking about the chart of ages, ages that could be important to you and will come to you faster than you realize. So it is always a good idea to pay attention, as well as maybe you're listening to the show, it might not apply to you, but you hear, you know, about a neighbor who might have a situation and all of a sudden your ears perk up and it could be some really valuable information for you to share as well. So the first age I covered was 50 or over, where you have the capability to make catch-up contributions to retirement accounts. That's because in all those younger years, you might not have been putting enough in because you thought you needed the money and the cash to go out and have fun and all that kind of stuff. You weren't thinking that this day would come, and now, boom, that day is here. And now you think, oh, shoot, I got to start saving some more money to catch up so I can actually retire. And usually people want to retire at 55. And so at 50, you know, you only have a few years to catch up. So many years ago, I can't remember how many years ago, but many years ago, gosh, it might have been 15 or so, they started doing these catch-up contributions that if you were over 50, it gave you an opportunity to kind of start, you know, saving a little bit more in case you got behind. So I mentioned for 401ks, the catch-up contribution, 50, if you're 50 or older, the catch-up contribution is $5,500, $5,500, 401k, regular 401k or Roth 401k. For IRAs, it was $1,000 catch-up contribution. The normal contribution is $5,500. So if you're over 50, you can do $6,500. And you don't have to do that whole amount. You know, some people can do, if you maxed out and you did $5,500 in an IRA and you only have another $500, you don't have to do the whole $1,000. You could do $500. Same thing with the 401k. If you did $17,500, thought you maxed it out, you just found out, oh gosh, Lori, you know, I turned 50. I didn't realize I could do the catch-up contribution this year, but you know, I'm only going to have one more paycheck and it's $2,000. You know, you could do $1,500. You know, you have to talk to your plan sponsor to make sure you can change your amounts on the fly like that, but you don't have to do the full amount. You can do up to that amount. I did not mention before the break that there is also a plan called a simple IRA. There's some other ones too. I'm just trying to hit the big ones here. Simple IRA is for smaller employers who have they wanted less administrative expenses for their retirement accounts, so adopted something called a simple IRA. The regular contribution for those plans is $12,000, and the catch-up for that is $2,500. So those are amounts that you need to be paying attention to. So if you're over 50 and you didn't know about the catch-up contribution feature, certainly check it out if you have enough money in your cash flow. It could be a viable option for a lot of people if you want to save some income tax today. And hopefully then when you retire, you're in a lower tax bracket and you can take the money out at a lower rate. So you save the tax dollars today and have a lower tax bracket in your retirement. Sometimes it works that way, sometimes it doesn't. What other ages are important? Age 56 to 59, and I'm going to explain that in just a sec. I want to give the phone number one more time, 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. So why do I say 56? It's really age 55. I want to point this out because, you know, in the Lehigh Valley, around the region, you hear about people, you know, retiring or being laid off. If you terminate employment in the year you turn age 55, so as long as you're age 55 by December 31st, and you've been employed and you have a retirement account, like a 401k, not IRAs, 401k, this applies to 401ks, you can withdraw from your 401k without the 10% penalty as long as you're age 55 by the end of the year. That's very important to know, because if you're someone who has been working, maybe you didn't save up a lot of money, maybe you don't have emergency reserves, and now you find yourself in a pickle that, gosh, I'm losing my job, I don't have emergency reserves, I was putting all my money in my retirement account to get the tax deferral. Oh no, what am I going to do? What if I don't find another job? If you keep, the temptation might be, and financial advisors might tell you, the temptation might be to say, oh, I'm going to roll my 401k over to an IRA, I'll be able to invest it better. Resist that temptation until you have taken the time to assess your financial situation. Because if you think there's any chance that you might need that money in your 401k after you've terminated at age 55, there is an exception to an early withdrawal penalty. So let me say why I'm bringing this up. If you retire and you need money out of a retirement account, you need money out of your IRA and you think I'm retired, but let's say you're age 58. Well, there is a penalty on early withdrawal if you take money out of a retirement account before age 59 and a half. So IRA, 401k, retirement accounts, early withdrawal penalty. If you take money out of a retirement account before age 59 and a half, there's certain exceptions. There are a number of different exceptions, but assume they're not going to apply to you because you don't want to, make a hasty decision and do something irrevocably. So normally age 59 and a half, if you take something out before that, there's a 10% penalty on an early withdrawal. One of the exceptions is from a 401k if you're age 55 in the year of termination and you have to take money out of the 401k, that is an exception to the 10% penalty. So if you listen to somebody, you're, you know, down the street and you rolled your money over to an IRA and you're only age 56 and then you needed to take money out, you would be subject to a 10% penalty unless you qualified for some other exception. But this is a big exception. So I'd like to tell folks, pause, assess your situation, keep the money in the 401k until you know what your situation is, because if you have to tap that money, it's always an option to avoid the 10% penalty. You still have income tax on any monies that you put into a retirement account, pre-tax. So if you put money in pre-tax, meaning you didn't have to pay tax on it when you were putting it in, you'll still have income tax, but you'll want to avoid the 10% penalty on pre-age 59 and a half. So that's why I say between 56 and 50. Well, it's really between age 55 and 59. I should have said 55. So very important age, a very important age for the people in the Valley who may be thinking about retiring early. You want to be 55 by December 31st. Some folks have asked, what if I'm not retired, if I don't turn 55, if they terminate in September and they don't turn 55 until November, it's okay as long as you're 55 by the end of the year. You also cannot apply this to like an old 401k. I mean, you have to terminate from the current employer, right? It's not going to apply if you terminated from your first job when you were 25. You can't go back and do it on that, but the current employer. Okay, so we will continue our discussion on the chart of ages. We have more coming up. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We're here live. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. WDIY is a listener-supported radio station. The programs you hear on WDIY are about you, for you, and in a very real sense, by you. Please help keep the pledge drive short by making a contribution today. Visit WDIY.org and please give as generously as you can. Thank you.
Welcome back to the show. Tonight, I just got distracted by Terry Gross. So for listening to Terry Gross, it was just like hard for me to come into the studio tonight because I was in the car listening to WDIY and I wanted to finish listening to the story. But I realized, oh my gosh, I have to get in. Folks, if you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. This is Your Financial Choices. I'm your host, Lori Siebert. And we take calls live on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable with. When you call in, Judy Ann will answer your call and write down your information. Just turn down your radio so we can talk without confusion. And I'm happy to answer questions on topic or off topic. We're talking about the chart of ages to pay attention to. I had mentioned that there are certain exceptions to the 10% penalty for early withdrawal from a 401k. Early withdrawal meaning pre-age 59 and a half. That age 55 does not apply to IRAs. It's only, 401ks, qualified plans, I should say. It probably would qualify to for a 403b as well. I wanted to just mention a couple other things because I mentioned exceptions to penalties from early withdrawal. I want to make sure, since I have this opportunity, remember I said at the beginning of the show, I'm going to add some peripheral information. I want to point out, folks, that if you do take money out of retirement accounts before you do it, understand what the if you're pre-age 59 and a half, see if an exception will apply to you. And don't assume that you know what the exception is. Actually, do your homework, contact a financial advisor, CPA, to understand if an exception would apply to you and what your limitations to that would be. Because I had mentioned the age 55 for the early withdrawal penalty from an employer plan, a qualified plan. If you are a qualified public safety employee, that age is 50. So I have not had that occurrence that happen, anyone who's needed it, but I realize now that is something that we should probably have on our radar for anyone who is a qualified public safety employee. If you're in, dire straits and you terminated employment at age 50 or later, pre 59 and a half, and you still have it in your retirement account at work, an exception to that 10% penalty would apply to you. The exception to the 10% penalty, this does not have to do with age, but it has to do with a qualified domestic relations order. So I also want to point that out for folks who will be thinking about getting divorced. If you're splitting up a 401k, I suggest to the spouse who is the non-employee spouse, if you're getting a chunk of a 401k that's segregated for you, there is a exception to the 10% penalty no matter what your age is. So you could be 40 years old and if you needed money out of that 401k, as long as it's set up through a quadro, a qualified domestic relations order, and segregated and kept in the qualified plan, if you had to take a distribution, again, you would have income tax on it, but you would not have the 10% penalty because it would qualify for the exception. So you just want to make sure you do that right. Once you roll it over to an IRA, you no longer have that exception to the penalty for that reason. Okay, you can say, oh, but it was in the quadro, now it's in my IRA. Nope, it doesn't apply anymore. It has to be in the qualified plan still. And then there are other, you know, exceptions to 10% penalties, things like, you know, due to death. So if you're a beneficiary, if it's due to total and permanent disability. So understand those exceptions. Some exceptions to the 10% penalty apply to an IRA, but don't apply to a qualified plan. And some people mess that up, too. They think that they could take money out of their 401k for qualified higher education expenses, and that is an exception to the 10% penalty from the IRA. I think under the Pension Protection Act of 2006, they may have made an exception for that from 401ks, but I believe the employer had to adopt it. So don't do anything like this until you research your options. Be proactive, not reactive, and make sure you're doing thoughtful before you make distributions out of retirement accounts. You want to avoid those 10% penalties. Again, that's pre-age 59 and a half. Once you reach age 59 and a half, it's not a big deal. But let me remind you, too, some people get confused and they think it's age 59 and a half, you know, the year they turn age 59 and a half. If you're 59 and a half in December, and meaning you're not 59 and a half in April, you cannot have these exceptions to the 10% penalty apply. You literally have to be age 59 and a half. Okay. We had a call come in from Jack in Bethlehem. He said he's 56 years old. He has an inherited IRA from his mother. Will I be penalized if I take out dollars before age 59 and a half? This is a great question, Jack. I'm going to tell you what the answer is. Rolled over from her IRA to mine. Uh-oh. I liked this question until I just read that. No taxes were ever paid. Is there an exemption because of the inheritance? Jack, this could be a little problem, and I'm not sure when you did this. I had this happen once before to a client, and it was a nightmare to unwind and caused a lot of problems. So hopefully you're still listening. Let me go through this as carefully as I can. If someone inherits an IRA or a 401k, that means it's because of death. And there is an exception to the 10% penalty on early withdrawal. So I could be 20 years old and a beneficiary of a deceased parent or grandparents, you know, IRA, any age. If I am a beneficiary on a retirement account, death is an exception to the 10% penalty. And I actually have required distributions starting in the year after death. So if I had a death in 2013, I'm the beneficiary. I have a beneficiary IRA, which means it is dad's IRA for benefit of me. That's how the account would be titled. Decedent's IRA for the benefit of beneficiary. So John Smith IRA for benefit of Mary Smith. Mary's would be the daughter in my example. That is a beneficiary IRA. I have to start taking required minimum distributions in the year following the year of death. If I don't do that, then there's other rules. I have to take it out within 5 years. And some of the rules are a little bit more complicated than I'm making it. But basically, the typical thing we do is you start required minimum distributions the year after death. It has to stay in a beneficiary IRA. In fact, you do this through a trustee-to-trustee transfer. So the decedent had an IRA at XYZ, you know, bank or XYZ brokerage firm. You do a trustee-to-trustee transfer. They do it on their books, and they transfer it right into a beneficiary account. Jack, there would not have been a 10% penalty if you took that money out because of this death exception. What scares me is that you said you rolled over her IRA to yours. Now, you can't roll over a decedent's IRA to your own IRA. You can transfer a decedent's IRA to a beneficiary IRA, but you cannot roll your IRA over to, your mother's IRA to your IRA. It's not allowed. Spouses can roll over to each other, but non-spouse beneficiaries cannot roll over to themselves. I had this happen with someone who came to me after the fact. A bank helped them do it. They wrote a check out of mom's IRA account for $130,000, and he took that check and put it into his own IRA. You can't do it. It's not allowed. They did it. I don't know how they did it. I'm not sure who helped them with it. It was wrong. So what happens is it's actually a $129,000 taxable distribution out of the IRA. He had income tax that was due on it. And then what happened is he went to correct it and had to take the $129,000 out of his own personal IRA because it was an excess contribution then. So he had to withdraw the $129,000 out of his IRA. He was under age 59 and a half, and there could have been a 10% penalty. I'll tell you how I finished helping him clean that up when we come back. Phone number 610-758-8810. Back after the break.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
And we are back with Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. We're talking about chart of ages that you have to pay attention to and how they might affect you and why it's important for you to know these special ages so that you can be proactive in your decisions. We're finishing up with a call from Jack from Bethlehem, who had called and mentioned that he was 56. He had an inherited IRA and could he take money out before age 59 and a half? And I had indicated that if it was a beneficiary IRA, not only can he take the money out, he has to take the money out under the required minimum distribution rules, which start the year after the year following the year of death. If you don't start it at that time, then you really need to look at the other rule, which is you have to take it out within 5 years. But he had, and there is no 10% penalty when you've inherited a retirement account. In fact, on the 1099-R, which is the tax document they use to report a distribution from a retirement account, there is a code, a distribution code that the custodian or trustee will use that tells the IRS what it is, and the code will be a code 4, which is a distribution by virtue of death. So, Jack, one of the things I would suggest you do, I don't know if this happened this year in 2014 or not. If it already happened, I'm not sure you can fix this. But you would look to see what the code was on the 1099-R, how they coded it. A code G is a rollover. If there was no 1099-R issued, then typically that means it's a trustee-to-trustee transfer. I'm hoping that maybe this call was off air, maybe some of the information gets confused and I can't ask you a question back. I'm hoping it really went into a beneficiary IRA for you, not your own personal, Jack Smith IRA, that it was really for benefit of Jack Smith IRA. So in that case, everything would be copacetic, I would expect. So if you had rolled it over into your own, it could be an excess contribution, depending, like in my example with the guy who had the $130,000 one. Let me finish what happened there. So he took a check from mom's IRA, which was considered a distribution. And then that bank let him put it back into his own IRA, which is now a contribution. It was not a trustee-to-trustee transfer. It did not keep the beneficiary IRA status. So now he's made an excess contribution to his IRA, which has to be removed. If it's not removed, you pay a penalty on an excess contribution. I think it's about 6%, if I'm remembering right. You pay a penalty each year as long as you keep that excess contribution in the account. So in my client's case, again, it was after the fact, he had what would have been a distribution, taxable, income taxable, and then he had an excess contribution, which was basically excise taxed. So lots of taxes coming at this guy. So the most I could help him with, I couldn't reverse the distribution from the decedent's IRA, from his mother's IRA. We couldn't reverse that. He took a check. He endorsed it. He deposited it. We could not reverse that. You can't. There's no 60-day rule for money out of a decedent's IRA account. So we had him remove the excess contribution from his own IRA. We wrote a letter to the IRS explaining the situation, the confusion, the incorrect advice that he was given, and they waived the 10% penalty. They waived the excise taxes that he was subject to and the 10% penalty for early withdrawal, because he had to take the money out, have early withdrawal and excess excise tax on the penalty for the over contribution. So taxes were coming at this guy and penalties from every direction. So we got those waived at least and explained the situation that as soon as he discovered it, he corrected it. So, Jack, one of the other things that might have happened in your situation, I'm saying that might be a saving grace, is let's say mom's IRA was only $2,000. If mom's IRA was only $2,000 and you were eligible to contribute money to an IRA and you did that, you know, this just could have been $2,000, $5,000, some small amount. Yes, you would have income tax on the distribution from mom's, but then if you put the money into an IRA, you may be eligible for the deduction for what you put into yours. So that would be an offset. So that would be what I would hope for you. But if it's bigger amounts, I think you have some things to correct and some people to talk to about, you know, why that happened or how it happened. Hope it works out for you. And I hope that helped. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can call live on air or off air, whatever you're most comfortable with if you have questions. Again, the number is 610-758-8810. We are talking about the chart of ages to pay attention to, ages where you can make catch-up contributions to retirement accounts, which is age 50, and when you can avoid a 10% penalty on early withdrawal if you terminate employment at age in the year you turn age 55 and you have an employer plan, a qualified plan, 401k or 403b. This does not apply to IRAs. And age 59 and a half, which is the magic age when you can take money out of retirement accounts without a 10% penalty. Now, keep in mind, it doesn't mean your employer is going to let you take money out of your plan at age 59 and a half. Typically, it's you can take money out of a plan if it's allowed for you to take money out of a plan at age 59 and a half without the 10% penalty. So keep that in mind. So if you're currently employed and you're 60 years old, and you have an employer plan, you look at your summary plan description, and it'll tell you when you're eligible to take what we call an in-service withdrawal. And that's typically at retirement age, deemed to be normal retirement age 65. So it doesn't mean you necessarily can take money out of your qualified plan. But if you have an IRA or something like that and you need money, if you have to take it out, there's no 10% penalty once you're age 59 and a half. And the same thing applies for annuity type things. Keep in mind, annuities might have their own other penalties if you just got into a contract and things like that. So you want to be aware of that. Age 60 is important for widows. So if you are a widow at age 60, you will be eligible for the widow's benefit. Now, let me see. I wrote down some information on that. Age 60 or older, but you will have permanently reduced benefits. If you're 50 or older and also disabled, then you also would be eligible for survivor benefit. So the survivor benefit will start or can start as early as age 60, but you can be older, you can wait, because if you take it 60, you do have a permanently reduced benefit. So again, survivor benefit, you're a widow, you need cash flow, you say, oh gosh, what am I going to do? I can't collect till I'm 62. Well, technically, if you're in dire straits, you could start collecting at 60. Again, you'll be receiving reduced benefits. If you work, you still will be subject to the earning limitation. So don't think you can collect Social Security at age 60 under the widow's survivor benefit and make $60,000 a year, because you have to pay back your Social Security if you earn over a certain amount. And that applies to widows as well. And I can go over that dollar amount in a little bit. Well, it's $15,480. So you'd have to pay it back if you make a dollar for every $2 over $15,480. That applies to survivor benefits or anybody who's collecting pre-full retirement age. I'll talk about pre-full retirement age in a minute. Okay, survivor benefits also apply to children younger than 18 or between 18 and 19 if they're still in, high school full-time. Parents can also receive benefits on your earnings as a survivor if they were dependent on you for at least half their support. I have not seen that case, and I wonder how often it comes up. And that is, again, parents who may be your dependent, you die, and now they could be eligible for survivor benefits on your record. Okay, so lots of different ages coming at you. We have Jack calling back. Jack, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing tonight?
Good. I hope I can help clear up your question.
You were doing real good. The RMD, what happened was the death happened like 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And then I have been paying the RMD.
Okay.
And I put that in, and it isn't a separate custodial account. The money was put into that from one to the other.
Great.
My question is, I know I have to pay tax on the required minimum distribution.
Yep.
But let's say I want to take $15,000 out and buy a car.
Yep.
I know I have to pay tax on that.
Yep.
But is there a 10% penalty on that $15,000?
No. As a beneficiary, you can take out any amount you want. So you have to take out the required minimum distribution, but you can take up to the whole, the balance. There's no maximum amount. And so that's a great question, because I never thought about that, where someone might wonder if they would have the 10% penalty on the amount over the required minimum distribution. No, you can take out 15. Thousand with no 10% penalty.
Even though I'm under 59 and a half.
Correct. And you can use it for whatever you want. You could take out the whole balance, but don't.
That's good for me.
Okay. Now keep in mind, I just want to mention one thing, Jack, that if you did take out 15,000, keep in mind, and don't tell me anything about your tax return on air, because I don't like people exposing themselves. But keep in mind, if you take out an extra 15,000, make sure you understand how else that might impact your tax return. If it throws you into the next bracket, is it going to cost you more income tax or not? You want to weigh that extra tax cost against maybe what a car loan would cost you, that if you took out maybe an extra $4,000, over the next 4 years to pay the car loan, is that going to be less cost than taking a tax hit on $15,000? Do you understand what I'm saying? Just kind of weigh what your options are there. But Jack, let me tell you, I'm so happy that mistake wasn't made like I explained that the other gentleman had. That would have been so sad. So I'm glad you had some good advice, and you did a trustee to trustee transfer, and you're doing your required minimum distributions. That's great.
Yes, me too.
Okay.
And thank you very much for your help this evening.
Thank you. Have a good night.
I
appreciate him calling to clarify that, and that's the beauty of having live calls is because I would have been worrying about him. I would have kept wondering, what happened to poor Jack? I hope he's okay, and I hope it wasn't big numbers. So I appreciate him calling in to clarify. Folks, if you do have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We are talking about the chart of ages. So I just mentioned widow's benefits at age 60. If you are a survivor, you would have permanently reduced benefits, but it is an option for you if you need cash flow and you otherwise wouldn't be limited because of other earnings that you have. Age 62 is the next age, which is the typical early retirement age for Social Security. It is also subject to a permanent reduction at age 62. Bottom line, basically, Social Security is meant to work that if you lived to the exact life expectancy that they've calculated, live to the exact age, whether you collect at 62 or full retirement or age 70, you're going to get the exact correct benefit. So this is where you kind of have to, you know, look in your crystal ball and see, how am I going to play my odds? Am I going to live longer than they think, or am I going to live less than they think? So you want to kind of make sure you have some little bit of an understanding of that. We'll talk more about the chart of ages when we come back from our next break. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a sec.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. Lehigh Valley weather, current conditions, 69 degrees under overcast skies. Tonight, rain, lows around 56. Thursday, rain likely, highs around 67. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, sunny skies are expected with highs in the upper 70s. The time is now 6:46 p.m. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Jeff. We are finishing up the last segment of the show. If you have questions, there's still plenty of time. The phone number is 610-758-8810 or through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. So I mentioned age 62 is early, what I will call early retirement under Social Security. It is subject to a permanent reduction of benefits, and I had a little calculation that you can get lots of this information on the Social Security's website, which I love, ssa.gov, lots of great information there. Collecting early on Social Security does reduce your benefit by a half of 1% for each month you start Social Security before your full retirement age. So the example is if you collect 4 years early, so if your full retirement age is 66 and you start collecting at 62, your benefit is 75% of what it would be if you waited to collect. Keep in mind, it seems like we're all living much longer than we used to. And if you want to maximize your benefit in those later years of your life, delaying collecting or waiting till at least full retirement age gives you a little bit extra cash flow later in life. So I wanted to look at the full retirement age. It used to be 65 and early was 62. And then several years ago, they implemented a phase-in of raising the full retirement age. So if you were born between 1943 and 1954, your full retirement age is 66. If you were born 1960 or later, your full retirement age is 67. So the years between that, 55 through 59, there's a phase-in. So your full retirement age for 1955 is 66 and 2 months. 1956 is 66 and 4 months. 1957, your full retirement age is 66 and 6 months. And 66 and 8 for 1958. 1959 is 66 and 10. So they phased it out for those years just by adding 2 months in between. So 1960 or later, full retirement age is 67. So the reduced benefit for people who have full retirement age of 67 to 62 will be a little bit more as well, because you'll be really collecting 5 years earlier. So that's age 62, something to pay attention to. If you can wait, I suggest you do. Again, I mentioned early retirement. If you start collecting Social Security before full retirement age, then you have limited earnings before you have to pay back your Social Security, $1 for every $2 over $15,480. Once you reach full retirement age, if you turn full retirement age in December of a year and you start collecting Social Security in January of that same year, it's your year of full retirement, but you really weren't full retirement age yet. The payback is a little different. It's one for every $3 over $41,400. So there's a really sliding scale of important ages between 66 and 67, you know, for folks, and between 62 and 67, technically, for that early retirement age for Social Security. All right. Also pay attention to the age 65 for Medicare, people who aren't working. If you're employed and you have a retirement account through work, you know, you're not going to have to go get Medicare. But if you are not working, you need to go apply for Medicare. Otherwise, they will, you know, assess you all kinds of penalties in the future if you eventually sign up for it. So age 65 is very important for Medicare. You're Medicare eligible. You want to apply about 3 months before you turn age 65 if you're going to need Medicare. So keep that in mind. Age 70 and a half is the next important age. You heard me talking with Jack earlier about minimum required distributions or required minimum distributions. Sometimes we call them MRDs or RMDs, required minimum distributions, from a beneficiary IRA or a beneficiary, you know, 401k, you have to start taking required minimum distributions the year after the decedent's year of death, or there's some other rules that will apply. If that's not your case, you're the owner of the account, you're the person, you're still here. Once you turn age 70 and a half, the IRS requires you to take a minimum distribution, unless you're still working. Some people might still be working. There's certain rules. Let me see if I can look at what I wrote down here. Minimum distributions kick in or at retirement for less than 5% owners. So if you're a more than 5% owner of the company, then you do have to take out the minimum required distribution at age 50 or 70 and a half. But if you are a less than a 5% owner or not an owner at all and you're still working, you actually do not have to take out required minimum distributions at 70 and a half. You have to just do it by, I think, April 1st of the year after you retire. Let me see. If you're 70 and a half, you have to do it by April 1st following the year you turn age 70 and a half. Now, some people who wait till April 1st have to take two in 1 year. So I suggest to people, you've got to be careful about that little rule that says April 1st by April 1st of the year following, because you're going to have to take one for the prior year, for the year you turn age 70 and a half, and for the year you're April 1st. So watch for that. If you wait, you may have to take two RMDs in 1 year if you wait till the April 1st after. I think what that does is it just gives you a little flexibility in case you forgot or you missed it. Also keep in mind, folks, particularly people who have beneficiary IRAs where they're taking required minimum distributions, if you change the custodian, sometimes they won't know that you were set up as a beneficiary IRA or that you had required minimum distribution set up. You have to make sure that you're on top of that and know that you have to continue to do that if you change custodians or trustees. Same thing applies if you're working with someone, you're age 70 and a half and you have it set up automatically. Some institutions might not set you up automatically. They'll send you a letter saying, hey, you're age 70 and a half, you have a required minimum distribution. and they might expect you to reach out to them. So if you've changed who you're working with, just make sure that you're also following up on doing your required minimum distribution. For Roth IRAs, guess what? There is no age for required minimum distribution. So in my chart of ages, I can have a chart that says no age. So there is no required minimum distributions from a Roth IRA unless it's an inherited Roth IRA. Then we have required minimum distributions from inherited Roth IRAs. All right. Other quick ages, I just have a few minutes left here. For your tax return, there are ages that are important as well, and that is age 65. You get an additional standard deduction. And that additional standard deduction is $1,200 if you're married filing joint, and it's $1,500 if you are single. So if you are someone who still hand prepares a tax return, I don't think I've seen anyone do their own handwritten tax return in a long, long time. But if you do, make sure if you're age 65 that you take advantage of the additional standard deduction. If you use the standard deduction, if you itemize, it doesn't matter. This is only for people who do not itemize and they have a standard deduction. At age 65, you get an extra $1,200 for marrying, filing joint, and $1,500 for single. All right, let me see if I had any other notes that I wanted to point out, some peripheral things. If you're divorced and you're married to your ex-spouse for at least 10 years, divorced at least 2 years, unmarried, not eligible for an equal or higher benefit based on your own work record or someone else's, and age 62, you may begin collecting on the ex-spouse's record even if they have not started collecting. So the reason I wanted to mention that is because typically the rule is if you're married and you're applying for a spousal benefit, you can only qualify for the spousal benefit if the working spouse whose record you want to collect on has signed up for benefits, that they've applied for their benefit. It's the only way a spouse can apply, you know, get a benefit on their working spouse is if the working spouse has applied for Social Security. So sometimes they file and suspend. I'm not going to get into that tonight, but the working spouse had to have filed. They might not do that till they're 66. So I might be the spouse who wants to collect on my husband. And at 66, he starts collecting. That's when I can apply for a spousal benefit. The exception to that is if you're divorced and meet all those other criteria I just mentioned. At 62, you can apply for your ex-spouse's spousal Social Security benefit if you meet all those other criteria. You were married for at least 10 years, you were divorced at least 2, you remain unmarried, and you're not eligible for a higher benefit on your own record. The Social Security does that because they might think your ex-spouse wants to punish you and they'll wait to file, you know, at age 70 or something. Well, they're not going to let them do that forever, so you can go ahead and file at 62. Again, all those earning limits I mentioned would apply. There was something else I wanted to mention about that divorced spouse, but I have forgotten, and I'll see if it's... I know what else I wanted to say. If you're in that situation where you're getting divorced, you're thinking about getting divorced, and you think this would apply to you, meaning your benefit isn't going to be very high. Maybe you were the stay-at-home spouse all this time, and you know you're going to have to collect on the working spouse's record. Before you leave the house, make sure you have a photocopy of the marriage certificate and a Social Security card for that working spouse. Because if you collect, you know, 10 years down the road, you're still single and you're 62 and you go to apply for your spousal benefit on your ex-spouse, Social Security might ask those questions about, you know, what was the Social Security number? And it'll be so long, you won't have those records anymore. Make sure you keep that in a safe place. Very important records to make sure you grab before you leave the house. All right, folks, thanks. We're winding up. I want to mention next week I'm going to do I thought it was our pledge drive next week, but that's 2 weeks from now. So next week, I'm going to, with Jeff's help, an idea, I'm going to talk about a potpourri of year-end planning considerations. So a potpourri of year-end planning considerations, because the weather is starting to get colder. What do we have coming up? We have holidays coming up, gift buying, let's say budget constraints. We have income tax planning strategies that we could do, kids traveling from school, coming home for vacations, holidays, home energy, lots of topics coming up in the last quarter of the year that I think we can talk about. We'll give you some planning ideas, planning considerations. Again, a potpourri of year-end planning for next week. That's what we will talk about. I want to thank Judy Ann for being here. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, listeners, especially Jack. I appreciate you following up with the phone call. And coming up next, Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.